Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
So we are wrapping up our series, the who, what, and how. And so quick recap, the week one was the who. That was the week where we were reminded of the great and glorious truth. Our chief reason for being alive is God. We are made by God for God. But why are you here? Why am I here? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The Lord God Almighty is our who. Now, we're committed to constantly and explicitly teaching each other that core truth through our vision. Our vision, as we look into the future, we see ourselves now and always spreading a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. That was week one. That's our who. Last week, we looked at our what. What do we do? We captured what we do in our mission. And our mission is to make disciples who make disciples. Jesus told us, go, make disciples. And so we're excited to make disciples who make disciples. We're serious, focused, and purposeful about making disciples. We're especially purposeful about five key areas of healthy discipleship. We want to help each other treasure Jesus. We want to we want to save people through Jesus. We want to belong to Jesus' church. We want to be growing in our love and knowledge of God through the Scriptures. And we want to serve Jesus and people. They're interdependent purposes. You know, we don't want to be healthy in two or three of them. All five are important to us of what a healthy disciple looks like. And so that was week one and week two, our who and our what. And hopefully you've picked up, really, week one was our vision, isn't it? Week two is our mission. So this week, as we look at our how is it that we go about concrete on the floor making disciples who make disciples? Well, we're really looking at our strategy. And as we look at our strategy this week, we're going to firstly look at equipping the saints. Then we're going to look at three focuses. I was tempted to call it three foci, but that was just too nerdy, wasn't it? Three focuses. And then we're going to finish with a wrap-up of the whole series as we consider some implications for spreading a passion. And so equipping the saints, three focuses, and spreading a passion. So firstly, equipping the saints. Ephesians is probably my favorite go-to book in the Bible, thinking about how should a church operate. It's a wonderful letter. Read it. It's short. The first three chapters are a doctrine, talking about the glorious doctrines of why the church is the hope of the world. We already sung about it. That first song we sang this morning is out of Ephesians chapter 1. Glorious doctrines. And then the last three chapters are concrete, practical chapters. This week's sermon passage comes out of Romans chapter 4, the beginning of the practical section of Ephesians. When I first saw the implications of Ephesians 4:11 to 16, it was like an aha moment for me. So let's read them again. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave. Now, context. The he is Jesus. And the immediate context is this Jesus who has come and died for our sins, has been raised to life again, is now seated as the King of the universe. He gave. This Jesus who has come and conquered sin and death and is now seated, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers. Jesus has given these people who teach his word. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so Jesus gives these gifts of people who teach the word to equip the saints so that together we are being built up into the full maturity of Jesus Christ, into the likeness of Christ. This is serious business. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. This is serious business. Satan is trying to drag people away. How devastating is it when we see someone who was with us walk away from Jesus? This is serious business. And how do we go about this serious business? Speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It's so much in that image. But I just want to draw your attention to notice what verse 12 does not say. Verse 12 does not say to look after the saints. You see, one of the traps of Christian ministry is to think that paid church members are the ones who do the ministry. That would be a very expensive model of growing a church. Boy, imagine if we had to pay Danny for doing her MCing this morning. She's keen, she's excited. The band members. The people have come into service this morning by setting up all the chairs. All those ministers out there right now teaching our kids about Jesus. We'd have to pay 30 staff members to be leading our point groups. It would be a very expensive model. But verse 12 does not say to look after the saints. Verse 12 says to equip the saints. Saints are Christians. Saints is just another word for Christians. At the point, Ephesians chapter 4 shapes our entire ministry philosophy. We do not pay Megan to welcome and connect everybody new around church. No. We set Megan apart. We pay her to lead and equip and mobilize all our teams of welcomers and connectors. Jesus' vision for church is way more exciting than a spectator sport. All Christians are to be equipped for the building of Jesus' church. Did you hear and see how exciting that verses 11 to 16 are? Every time I read them, I wish I was more graphically minded. I want to turn it into a church logo. We're all being built up into the full maturity of Christ together. It's an exciting vision. Do you want to be happy, content, less anxious, more at peace with who you are, less worried about what other people think of you, more secure in your final destination, more comforted? Do you want to know greater periods of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? That's what church family does for each other. We come together and we build each other up into Christ likeness. That's exciting. And there's more. Jesus is also using us to save more people and incorporate them into the church. Ephesians 4 is such an inspiring vision of the church. Jesus not only expects from us this growing, He equips us. He powers us for this. Do you remember when Jesus last week told us like crystal clarity? Go. Make disciples who make disciples. That's our mission. There are no spectators on Jesus' mission. And so not only does Jesus save us, Jesus gears us up to engage on his mission. Okay, so when it comes to the how we make disciples at the point, the first thing is our theological undergirding is equip the saints. No spectators. We're in this together. We're the saints being equipped to do the ministry of building Jesus' church. So if you're a Christian and you're part of the point, what is it that you are being equipped for? What is your ministry for the building up of the church? We're now going to shift our focus into our... shift our focus. That doesn't work, does it? We're now going to shift into our three focuses. That's better. Our three focuses. This is a how sermon. This is our strategy. And our strategy for making disciples who make disciples. It's committed. Our strategy is committed to three focuses. A discipleship pathway, the next gen, and leadership. And so firstly, discipleship pathway. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you how the best estimates are that there are only 3% of Aussies that are born-again, genuine Christians. If we apply that to the Hastings, we're 88,000 within a 30-minute drive of here in Port Macquarie. That means 85,000 neighbours not yet Christians. Jesus compels us to go into our region and make disciples. And so we have a discipleship pathway. We want to be deliberate. We want to be good. We want to be accountable with our discipleship pathway. Remember, this pathway that we're about to look at is about making disciples. It's about heaven and hell. This is eternally urgent. The beginning of our pathway forces us to think about people we don't yet know. We want to engage with not yet Christians and let them know we even exist as a church. And so as you and I have people that we meet with, are we telling them about our church? We want to raise awareness with people. And so there's some ministries that are good at doing this amongst us. Our playgroup, our blast, our youth ministries are good at it. We want to be thinking about more opportunities that we have of just raising awareness that, hey, there's a Point Church here. And then when our church does make contact, for instance, a parent does turn up to playgroup, not yet saved. A teenager who's not yet saved, turns up to Pointy J. One of our friends we bring along to a Sunday service, there's first contact. Now, on the one hand, we don't want to smother people, do we? I've got some embarrassing stories where I've done that over the years. On the other hand, if they're not yet saved, we want to be prayerfully earnest to see God save them. And so we equip our teams involved with first contact ministries to triage where individuals are up to with Jesus. And at this point in our discipleship pathway, there's a bit of a fork in the pathway, isn't there? If someone is hooking into our church community and they're not yet saved, we want to steer them to our life course, where they'll get to hear about the gospel of Jesus, get to ask their questions, and we're praying that God will save them. And as God saves them, we then want to establish them in the faith. And as they're established in the faith, we want to see them established into our family. But there's a fork, isn't there, in the pathway? Because some people come along in our first contact, and well, some of you, isn't it? You're a Christian. We don't want to see you saved. You are saved. And so we want to help you settle into the life of our family. And so there's an initial sort of steps of a newcomers gathering that we want you to come along to find out who we are and who you are. We want to know who you are. Our membership course, Start Point, is very important if you've been for a newcomer. And then from Start Point, to get into our family, a point group, and from a point group, be serving in ministry and joining us together as we're growing up, helping each other grow up, and going out and reaching more people. This discipleship pathway is vitally important to us. It deliberately forces us to focus on people who are not yet saved and to focus on you and I so that we are being built up and to go out and see others saved. Each step of the pathway is important. Okay. The next focus is next gen. One of God's great blessings on the point is that for the first 5 years, children outnumbered adults. We were overwhelmed, we were outrun, and it was awesome. We had to think about next gen ministry from the very beginning. And what we knew is that you just cannot provide babysitting service. These children are meant to be made into disciples who are disciple makers themselves. Dale is our next gen pastor. He is not our youth or children's pastor. Dale is tasked with the enormous job of helping us raise the next generation of Christ followers. He's given the task of seeing this next gen, helping us raise the next generation more committed to Jesus than we are. If you want to see Dale arc up, get alongside Dale and think that you're trying to encourage him by saying, "Dale, so glad you're our next gen pastor. The children are our future." He'll get cranky with you. No, we don't want to wrap our children in cotton ball until they're ready to grow up and tell people about Jesus. They're ready to tell their friends and other people about Jesus right now. I'm glad to see you nodding your head. Think about the kingdom impact of preschoolers, of infants, of primary schoolers, of high schools going out and telling their friends and family about Jesus. Just this week, I'd already written that bit, and I hear this story about three preschoolers from our church go to the same preschool, two of whom were telling one of their preschool mates about Jesus. The third one is sitting at the dinner table telling his parents about the evangelism that this young guy was doing in preschool. And so then the dad of the third guy is sharing with a few of us. Do you see the impact? It's not just in the preschool and with the kids, it's me being encouraged. Well, if a four-year-old can do it, I better go out and do it too. Next gen focus. We're not saying we're a family-centered church. We're not saying we're a family-focused church. If you're single and don't have children or grandchildren, I hope you are just as excited to be raising the next gen as a parent of eight children. Next gen focus. Our third strategy focus is leadership. Now, at first that sounds a little wrong maybe, or it sounds just a little, why focus on it? And then we remember one of our Bible readings, Exodus 18, yeah? I actually forgot we were having it as one of our two Bible readings, so I won't read it again right now, but it was Exodus 18, Moses' father-in-law coming along and saying something like, my translation of the Hebrew is, "You stupid man, what are you doing?" Now, if you have been trained in leadership and management at work, you know the Jethro principle as delegation. At the point, we know the Jethro principle as equipping the saints. We need more leaders. We always will. We want to be equipping the saints for the task of making disciples who make disciples. Look at again at our discipleship pathway. Think about all the ministries we need under raising awareness, first contact, the evangelism ministries that are running along the top, the connection ministries, and then the growing ministries, the serving ministries that are happening around our church. We don't want to be paying for all of those. Some of you, many of you, are gifted for those ministries. Whatever I said must have been good because the phone just beeped. I did a calculation on Jethro's principle. Leaders over tens of 50s, of hundreds, over thousands. If you do the calculation, it's one leader for every 13 people around church. And so on the one hand, we know that we don't want to bottleneck up our discipleship pathway while we're waiting for Moses to make a decision. And on the other hand, we don't want to pay for one leader for every 13 people around church, equipping the saints. And together, as a staff team, as a leadership team, as a church, we're very focused on the ministry of this church and the leadership of this pathway and the leadership of this pathway to keep reaching more and more people for Christ. We equip the saints, not just to be disciples, not just to make disciples, but for leading ministries. Okay, it's time to wrap up. This week we've looked at the how of the point. How we make disciples who make disciples. We're reminded of that underlying, undergirding theology, equipping the saints. We've looked at our discipleship pathway, our next gen focus, and our leadership focus. I've shared with a few of you over the last couple of weeks of this series how excited I am again to be getting on with reaching people for Christ. What a thrill to be on mission with you and with the King of Kings. Not only has this been exciting, it's also been easy. It's just been talking, hasn't it? On Sundays, I'm talking, I'm preaching. In midweek, we're talking in our point groups. It's time to be the hands and feet of our vision and our mission and our strategy. It's been a hard couple of years with COVID, hasn't it? But I'm excited. I've seen us hang around. The guy on pack up basically turns off the light at morning tea because we're all hanging around again. It's time to get back on the horse for our vision, our mission, and our strategy. Church is not a club that we attend. It's not a show that we spectate. Church is not a self-help industry where we can just move around and whichever one's got the best program for us. Church is the body of Christ, the hope of the world. We are co-missioned by Jesus to make disciples who make disciples. At the point, our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. We're committed to making disciples who make disciples. We're purposeful for our disciples to be healthy, to treasure, to be on Jesus' mission to save, to belong to Jesus' church, to grow in our love and knowledge of God, and to be serving Jesus and people. How do we do that? We're committed to equipping the saints. And again, our equipping the saints has a purpose and a focus, a discipleship pathway, the next gen, and leadership. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Right on our doorstep, hundreds, thousands of mission opportunities. And so I wanted to finish this series up with this slide, which is basically just 7% growth projection for the next 5 years. There's a bit of information on it. I just want you to focus on the numbers at the top of those columns. Right now, as we wrap up, what year is this? 2022. Our church family is 560 people. That's who we are. That's not a vague connection with our church. That's who we are as a church family, 560. And so if we were to grow by 7% next year, that would be 599 of us. And then the year after that, if it was another 7%, 641, 686, you're tracking with me? I don't know what you think about as you look at those numbers, but what is it basically? 39 more people next year, low 40s the next year, mid-40s the next year. It's not until the fifth year where maybe a bunch out of the 40 new people that are part of our church family, 51. I don't know how you feel as you look at that. It's tempting to be very excited by it. It's tempted to be very daunted by it as well. We go, wow, really? We've got to do that? We've got to raise up those leaders? We need an extra morning service for all of that? And then it dawned on me. It's sort of depressing. Now, God alone will choose when he sends revival. But if there's 85,000 people on our doorstep that don't know Christ and die and spend eternity in hell, the 30s and the 40s and the 50s every year don't sound like a whole lot. So I want to finish with, will we pray? Will we pray prayers that only God could ever answer? Would our vision not be one that we're comfortable with or we think we can manage? Would our vision be to see more and more and more people saved from death to life? Jesus has the gospel for that, and we have that gospel. We are the hope of the Hastings. The Christian church, not the Point Church. The Christian church is the hope of the Hastings, and we have that gospel. Would you pray for me that I would be uncomfortable with seeing only 6 or 10 baptisms a year in our church? I'm excited for every single person who's converted, but my goodness, 85,000 on our doorstep. Only one life to live. It will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Brothers and sisters, let's giddy up. This is Jesus' vision, mission, and strategy. I'm going to pray. Oh, Father, you are so good and merciful. You would have been just to wrap everything up after Adam and Eve, but you didn't. You immediately put in your plan to save people through your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving us. Oh, Father, would we rejoice ecstatically? You've written our names in your book. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, Father, would we be excited to see you write more and more names in your book? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.